Have your Bibles tonight. Hebrews chapter 4. All the little ones can slip right on out. All the little ones. It's great. Draw your attention tonight. Hebrews chapter 4. You know, this is a new year. We can choose to be satisfied where we are. We can choose to grow. Could I ask you to let the Holy Spirit work on your heart and reveal to you the areas which you need to grow? Could I challenge you to do what David did in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. Could I challenge you tonight to say, I want to grow this year. I want to be more for Christ this year than ever before in my life. And I promise you that will cause you to humble yourself. I just want you to see quickly three areas tonight of growth. One you'll notice in verse 9 and 10, chapter 4. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. He that entereth into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. There's a rest in our Savior. And I hope that this year, if you've struggled with your salvation, if you've struggled from time to time with the eternal peace, that this year be the year you'd rest in Christ. That's growth. There are a lot of people that they battle with eternal security. They battle with their salvation. They battle with, did I really mean it? Was it sincere? Was I this or that? But the Lord said, look, there's a rest in Christ where you can sleep at night, lay your head down on your pillow and say, I trust in Christ. I want to give you just a couple of quick thoughts. Number one, you'll know that in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, for whosoever, includes everybody, shall call upon the name of the Lord, a very broad prayer, shall be saved. Let's go through some of the great prayers of Scripture where people were saved. Do you remember the thief hanging on the cross? Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That was the crummiest prayer in history. But he got saved. Want to know why? He was sincere and he looked at the Lord and said, Lord, I'm getting capital punishment. I'm a murderer. I'm a thief. I got no business in heaven, but just remember me when you go to heaven. I'd sure like to go there, but I know I can't. And Jesus says, yes, you can. Now all that is not in the Greek or Hebrew or Aramaic. You can just read through the prayer of the thief, Lord, remember me, and thou goest into thy kingdom. Was your prayer that good? Then you have the rest of God in your heart. Salvation is not difficult. It's easy. The world makes it difficult. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to light candles. You got to be baptized. You got to come to church. You got to give tithes and offerings. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord can rest in Christ. And that's growth. Is that you learn to rest in the salvation that Jesus Christ gives to you as a gift. So with the thief on the cross, how was his prayer? Well, where it's not recorded the prayer of the woman at the well. But she came back and said, come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Now, that wasn't true. He just obviously knew everything I did. He knew I had five husbands. The man I was living with wasn't right. And she came back, and the city came and said many were saved because of her word. And then the rest came and heard his word, and they got saved. So what was her prayer like? You see, it's not the words that we rest in. The Lord Jesus sees the burden of our heart, and he wants to hear us say, you know, admit, I'm a sinner. The thief on the cross, Lord, just remember me. I'm not worthy to go to heaven. That's what he wants to hear or sense. And when he senses that in our heart, Lord, I'm not worthy to go to heaven. Would you forgive me of my sin? Now, I think everybody, if you're going to pray and you're going to ask for the gift of eternal life and you've been to church and you understand Scripture, then you ought to be able to get on your knees and say, Father, Lord, it's me. I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sin. Will you forgive me of my sin to come into my heart and save me when I die? Lord, I'm sorry. And that prayer from an honest heart always saves. But it's not the words. It's what you want from God and what you want God to do. And God reads your heart. How does he save a deaf mute? It's not the words that he says. Rest in Christ. Let this be the year you have peace with God. That's growth. You know, there are people all over that cannot grow because they cannot get rest for their soul. Let this be the year you rest in Christ. Let this be the year that you rest in his salvation. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. When you put your faith and trust in Christ, you can rest in him. Being confident of this very thing, we read it this morning, of he that has begun a good work and you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's his work anyway. He's the one that's going to take us to heaven. Rest in him. Learn to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. I know you promised. For whosoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a promise of God that's absolutely sure. You can bank on it. Rest in it. But I want you to notice, number two, the Christian's resources for growth. You've got to be able to rest in Christ to grow, but you've got to have some resources to grow. And I want you to notice the number one resource is the Word of God listed. Verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's why you read Scripture. Because the Holy Spirit takes God's Word and parses your intent and your desires. And we begin to learn in the depths of our soul, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have thought that. Lord, I'm sorry. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what Scripture says. So you've got the Word of God to help you live right. Do we use it? I've made some new commitments this year on what I'm going to read from Scripture. There's never a day where you stop growing, ever. The Christian life is not like our physical life. Our physical life is like this. Young, get older, 20s, 30s, and then all of a sudden 35s and 40s physically. That's the reason football players don't last much past their 30s and 40s. Basketball players, no great athletes are still great in their 40s hardly. They have limitations. Not in the Christian life, folks. In our 30s and 40s, we ought to be better and better. In our 50s, better and better. There's no limit. There's no limit to how much we use this resource to add things to our life, to change our life, to become like Christ. Grow this year. Take some time out and folks, don't let anything stop you this year. Don't let your job stop you. Don't let your pace stop you. You find a time this year where you get alone with the greatest resource God's left to us in this life, and you pour over it and say, Lord, would you discern the thoughts and intents of my heart? Lord, help me to be on the same plane that you want me to be. Notice, if you would, in verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not made manifest in his sight. It's a reminder, but all things are naked and open in the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You can hide nothing. I can hide nothing. Who we are, for real or not real, it's obvious to the Lord. But he wants to change us all into genuinely sweet-spirited, godly people that the world looks at and can't understand. He wants us as his people to be a people of character and discipline and purpose. And when you take God's word, it's a book of principle. It's a book of many principles by which we learn to live. I'm supposed to think right. What does that mean? I'm supposed to understand that God looks at everything about me. Every place I am, every place I go, God sees me. The eyes of the Lord are open to every place we go. Do you understand that? Do you understand, young people, there's no place you can go in the locker room or in a quiet place where God does not see everything we do and everything we think? You're an open book to God. Growth is, Lord, I realize that, and I want all that I am to be pleasing to you. This is the year. Let this year be the year you step up to a spiritual level. Notice, resource number one is the Word of God. Resource number two is the prayer of God. Notice, if you would, in verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. So we always know that Jesus Christ knows the way we feel. You know, there's one person that you can never, ever say to, you don't know the way I feel. And that's Jesus. He does know the feeling of our infirmities. Notice, if you would, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He faced every possible failure point you and I have ever faced, but he succeeded. But he knows the way we feel when we've lied and tried to cover it up, when we've had a wrong thought, when we've been pornographic, when we've been lustful or covetous, when we've any of those things. Jesus Christ says, I know the temptation, but you're mine. I want you to step above that. Is this the year we do it? Now notice the resource. Verse 16, let us therefore, because we have a God in heaven that loves us and knows the temptations that we feel, he knows the pulls that are in our life, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may find mercy and may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Your greatest resource is on your knees. Your greatest resource is whenever you can find a place and get alone, you, yourself, and God. Very few Christians that I know of would want to get alone and just you, yourself, with God. Every teenager, you just get alone, you, yourself, and God, and say, Lord, it's me. I need your help. Grow to that point where you trust him to bless you. You trust him to guide you, to convict you. Folks, all of us need the convicting hand of God to show us the right way. We'll hurt ourselves. A child left to himself in a house feels free and has fun until he pulls the pot of hot water over on top of him, off the kitchen stove, or until he falls into the bathtub, or until he gets something out from underneath the sink that makes him very ill when he puts it in his mouth. Children love to have their own way. And we're God's children, and we have to learn to grow to the point where we say, Lord, I don't want my own way. I want your way. And now use your resource, your word, to guide me. And Lord, when I don't understand, I'll get on my knees and say, Lord, I know you understand, but I need you tonight. The Christian's rest is Christ. The Christian's resource is the Word of God and prayer. Use it this year. Make your time with the Lord precious. Make it important. Block everything else out. Let this be the year you grow to new heights. You personally, not your wife, not your husband, not your parents, not your friends, but you. I want you to notice, and I'll spend a bit more time here, verse number 12 of chapter 5. Christian's rest, the sinner's rest, the saint's resource, and the servant's requirements. Notice in verse 12, chapter 5. For in the time you ought to be teachers, God intends it for every one of us in this room to be able to share something we've learned with somebody else. That's what makes you a teacher. Not everything, but every senior boy or senior girl ought to be able to share some spiritual things with a sophomore boy or girl. Or you're not where you ought to be. Every woman in this room that's been married 40 years ought to be able to share something with a woman that's been married 20 years just to be a blessing. It doesn't mean walk around teaching everybody. It just means there's a time whenever you have the respect of someone else that they might ask you. And you can give them an answer at the time when you ought to be a teacher. You ought to be able to share something. Now, that does not mean a Sunday school teacher or a church pastor teacher. It means that you can sit down and share someone, talk with someone in a quiet moment and share something spiritual with them that will help them grow. It's a husband ought to be a teacher to his family. It ought to be an older child to be a teacher to his younger siblings. We ought not to do that because mom and dad wouldn't be pleased if we did that. That's a teacher. Now I want you to notice here, he is talking about adult, mature Christians here. And notice, if you would, when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. What are those first principles? Well, you're saved by grace through faith. First principles are that you ought to come to church. First principles are you ought to tithe. They're rudimentary things. You ought to read your Bible. They're the first principles. The simplest things in the Christian life. The time when you ought to teach others, you have need that someone reminds you, teach you again and again. Don't lose your temper. That's the first principle. Don't yield to sin. Over and over and over and over again, that's the first principle. Step up to the point to where you're not battling with pornography. You're struggling with rising to new heights. You're not tempted with getting drunk. You're not tempted with drugs. You're not tempted with immorality. The first principles, those are basic things. You're trying to step up to the point where someone could come to you and say, "How is it you learn how to walk with Christ?" And someone, you can say, "Well, this is what I did." You can just share it with them. You become a teacher. Where are the spiritual teachers tonight? People can share with someone else how you get something from God's Word. How you use the two resources of prayer and scripture to walk holy. Notice, if you would, verse 12. You have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You know, a person that needs milk is, you can't sit down with them and say, and give them a word of correction. can't take it. They get defensive. Well, if you wouldn't have done this, then I wouldn't have done that. So husbands and wives, if you want a sweet marriage, both of you got to step up and walk with Christ. And then whenever one of you says, look, I wish you wouldn't have done this or that, you say it in the right tone, the right spirit, and say, would you help me by doing this or that? The other person doesn't say, well, if you hadn't done this, we're not defensive. We say, you know, honey, I'll work on that. Spiritual growth. Where we can help each other. Where two brothers can talk to each other because they know they love each other and help each other grow. We're not jealous of others. First principles. God's got something for everybody in this room to do. Every one of us, that's the will of God for you. Nobody else can do it. Why be jealous of someone that can do something a little better than you can? Or you see, first principles are simple things. The things listed in Romans chapter 1. Thou shalt not, and he gives you a list of things. Young people, you might disobey your parents, but you ought not to want to. That's the first principle. We all make mistakes, but we shouldn't make it on purpose. First principle. Notice, if you would, if you have your Bible, turn over to chapter 10 very quickly. See a first principle. Look at verse 26. I have it underlined. For if we sin, what's that word? Willfully. There's the first principle. Don't sin on purpose. No sin in your life should be on purpose. It's a first principle. If you're going to be a great Christian, you don't sin on purpose. Because you can or because you want to. You yield yourself to Christ. What good is a football player? How many of you remember a football player that was a number 4 pick in the draft? His name was LeVar Arrington. How many remember him? 6'3", 256, ran a 4-something, 40. Great, great Penn State linebacker. Do you know he had a very short career? How many of you remember that? You want to know why? Wouldn't listen. He willfully would not be in the right spot that his coach wanted him to be in when the coach needed him there. Got traded to another team, out of football. Great physical tools, an unwillingness to yield. First principle. You can't be a great Christian unless you learn the first principle of yieldedness. No willful sins this year. I feel anger coming at my heart. I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to do that. It's not right. I'm tempted to, I can see something here. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to, and we just do it. No willful sin. Sin creeps up on us. We make mistakes. But let's not plan it. It's a first principle. Now, I want you to notice quickly, look back over in chapter 5, and notice this. Verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So if you're going to be, if you're a weak Christian, if you're a weak spiritual Christian, it means you don't take God's word and apply it to a situation and use what God said to make your decisions. You make your decision on emotion or because of will. Those are first principles. So if you're going to grow, you yield yourself to God's word and say, whatever the book says, whatever you want, that's what I'm going to do. That's when you step up to begin to grow. Because it takes the choices out of your hand and you become a servant. It's why I can never yell at my wife. Not because I can't. Because I choose not to. I won't. because I want to please him. I yield to him and it makes her life better. She yields to him and makes my life better. When are you going to grow? No willful sin this year. Now, notice, we make our decisions based on something. Our feelings, something we heard, what we think. Spiritual growth and maturity is, notice this, verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, you can take God's word. Notice in verse 13, for everyone that has used this milk is unskillful. And the word is inexperienced. It is ignorant of. You either don't know what God wants you to do, or you're inexperienced in using God's word to make life choices. So you're a babe in Christ. When you say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And you go to God's book and you dig it out and you see, that's what I'm going to do. Then you're growing. And notice, he says this, you use God's word to make your decisions. And notice, if you would, he says, to discern. Discern is the word diakrino. Dia is through, krino is to judge. You use God's word to judge through your decisions. Lord, what is it you want me to do? I would not have had the joys and the privileges of being at Temple if I would have had what I wanted to do. Because I either wanted to go to the mission field or stay in Texas. But when I begin to apply the will of God to my life, and Lord, what do you want me to do? And discern the will of God for my life, it brought me here. And so now I look at you and I say, I look back on my life, and every time I've used God's word and I've yielded to Scripture, and I said, Lord, I will make the decision you want me to make. I will humble myself and yield to you. I've always made the right decision. And every time I said, you know, I don't like the way this, that happened, this, and I'm going to do this, I've always made the wrong decision. Spiritual growth is when you discern right, wrong, using God's word. And you become skilled at it. Now, I would just draw your attention, if you have your Bible, to James chapter 1. Notice this, if you would. James chapter 1. Look in verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Learn that lesson and you'll grow this year. Now then look down in verse number 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, that would be growth if you took what you got tonight and went home and applied it and said, Lord, I'm going to yield myself to you and I'm going to stop making purposeful decisions that I want to do. I'm not going to sin on purpose. Notice, if you would, in verse number 23, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, a mirror. He beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. What would it be like if you got up in the morning, fellas, and you took the mirror in front of your sink and you looked at yourself and you said, it's okay. Went on your way. You didn't shave, didn't comb your hair. You went to work. People said, what happened to you? What is any of your business? Man, we've always started, we've blown the whole morning. We started it all off wrong. You can do that, but that's not spiritual growth. You see, spiritual growth is taking God's word and sitting down, using it as a mirror to say, I'm not going to do that anymore. I see what God says. I hear it. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to forget what God said. Now remember, the word discern is to judge through. Okay? But if you recall, here in back over into Hebrews chapter number 5, unskillful is the word ignorant of or inexperienced. So we're either ignorant, we don't read our Bibles, or we don't care what God says, so we're ignorant of it. Or inexperienced is, we read it in the morning, but we didn't hear what it said. We didn't use the Word of God. We're inexperienced. Growth is when you take the Word of God and say, based upon this, when I have a temptation, I'm going to get on my knees and say, Lord, you know what it feels like. How should I have victory over this? Come boldly to the throne of grace on a regular schedule. You'll grow. A hundred and fifty years ago, a song, I've Decided to Follow Jesus, was written. In Wales, there was a great revival happening. They sent many missionaries around the world because of this great revival. There's not too many places of great revival in America, none that I know of. Because the fruit of that is lives are changed. Places of wickedness are closed down because nobody wants to go there anymore. Examples are made. Marriages are strengthened. And people become holy and they say, Lord, what can I do? And missionaries are sent out all over the world. That happened 150 years ago in Wales. And a Welsh missionary went to India, northern India. Now, northern India was filled with tribal areas. And the tribal areas were covered with people who, in order to marry, in order to be respected as a man, the more human head you had in your home, the better you could defend your family and protect them. So they're headhunters. One of these Welsh missionaries was sent to one of those tribes. He'd won some people to Christ. The first couple that he won to Christ, the tribal leader brought them all out, brought he and his family out. Two kids, his wife and himself. Said, you recant this, Jesus, or you're going to die. He wasn't singing. He just said, I have decided to follow Jesus. He said it three times. They shot and killed his two kids in front of him. You know what his next statement was? Though no one join me, still I will follow. Tribal leader raised his hand again. They shot his wife dead. Then he began to speak about the cross, the third line of the song, and they shot him dead. the story kind of came to a man a little later, and he wrote the song and decided to follow Jesus. Though no one joined me. And it's the cross that I follow. We don't know that much about that song. Because it takes real growth to get to the point where you can say, though nobody joins me, I'm going to serve it. Would you die for your faith tonight? Better yet, would you live right on purpose for your faith tonight? That is growth. I've decided to follow Jesus. Have you? No matter the cost. Let this year be the year of growth. Will you lay down all of your personal weaknesses and say, Lord, look into my heart. Search me. Help me to grow. No more willful sins. It's a great step. No more decisions without His work. I'm going to forgive without being asked. I'm going to pray for my enemies. Spiritual growth. I'm not going to be offended. I'm going to be easy to talk to. Spiritual growth. Tonight, I want everybody in this room to grow mightily this year. But you're the only one that can choose it. You have to decide to follow Jesus. Let's bow our heads forward to prayer tonight. I'll ask the pianist to come and just play a verse of invitation. I've decided to follow Jesus has three lines. I've decided to follow Jesus, and it's repeated three times. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. Repeated three times. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Repeated three times. Tonight, will you serve the Lord by yourself? Husbands and wives, will you choose to serve the Lord together? I've decided. Lord Jesus, would you help us to decide tonight? Individuals, families, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, follow you to grow. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Stand to our feet if you would please. Page 635 as we sing those words if you need to come tonight. First verse will not play long. I've decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. Turning back, no turning back. follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.
Let's sing it together. Notice the words.
Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow.
Four and a half years ago, when I got the call, Susan was in the hospital, and I got the call at 4 something in the morning that I needed to come. She had taken a turn for the worst in intensive care. I was driving that 30 minutes to Fairfax Hospital. I had to make that decision. If she can't go with me, still I will follow. And Drew's got to make that decision. Those dead can't go with him anymore. Still, I will follow. Tonight, I cannot imagine seeing my children lie dead on the ground and still saying, though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. There are going to be some great Christians in heaven. I don't know about you, but I want to be one of them. I want to say, Lord, I want to be all I can be for you. But you got to yield to it. Let's make this year the best year of our lives. Let's be a witness, a testimony, teachers, because we've walked the walk and we have a sweet spirit about us. Lord Jesus, thank you tonight for your great goodness to us. To Lord, we owe a debt we cannot pay. All we have is yours. All we are, all we ever hope to be, is in you. Dear Lord Jesus, would you make this year, 2014, our greatest year? Maybe, Lord Jesus, you'd come back to get us during this year. And if so, help us to be ready. In your precious name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed tonight. Lord bless you. Don't forget.